Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
The Fountain of Youth, long sought by many. In fact, many have sought it in the ancient writings that have existed in the secret libraries of the world. Because ever among us, there has been one extraordinary being, here or there, that never aged. In one of the books of the Apocrypha, and the Apocrypha are the books that did not make it into the collection that became the Bible that was decided by the old Catholic Church Fathers a long time ago. The Apocrypha are in many instances scripture as well. In that scripture is the interaction of man with a high deity. But one of the Apocrypha called this the Song or the Odes of Solomon. It's the Odes of Solomon. He speaks about how he was regarded as a strange person. For he broke in part the bars of iron that held him captive, and behold, he was the door of everything. It is a most beautiful piece of writing of someone's full ascension and how he lived amongst beings that saw him not age. I had the face and fashion of a strange person because they kept aging and he didn't age. And so here or there among us, there have been scraps of writing or stories or fables even of someone that never aged. Now, brothers and sisters, even in areas of our earth today, there are people living that live their lives in obscurity, go to the market and sell their fish, but that never age. And they may move from village to village when it becomes apparent that they are such a person, so that no one knows how old they are. But some of them are thousands and thousands of years old. They have discovered the Fountain of Youth. Let's learn today about longevity and immortality, and gain an understanding of the fields around the body of man. Because this is an important part of understanding how we can live in a way that does not age us. In a nutshell, aging is the result of the two polarities, the feminine and the masculine, in our lives not pulsing properly. Growth is dynamic. There are portions that pull back, then there are portions that extend out, then it grows, pulls back, then it extends out. In other words, all of life pulses. We pulse between doingness and beingness. Even something like balance that we would regard as static is not. Static balance is but the equilibrium of that perfect moment that if indulged in for long, becomes stagnation. The pulsation between movement and structure or measure is part of dynamic balance. Everything pulses. If it pulses with equal pulsations going perhaps a little bit over each time to deepen, to create growth, in other words, if you go more deeply into your feminine than usual, the masculine pulse has to compensate by going a little more deeply and so forth until growth is attained, that the individual is in fact augmenting, growing more of what it is. If one of the pulsations does not happen, if the feminine pole is not lived or the masculine pole is not lived, what occurs is stagnation. Now, there's a great irony afoot here, because, in fact, aging happens because of the fact that one of the poles is leaking energy. We were created as self-sustaining units. We were created in a way that there's no need for aging. But it happens when energy leaks out of one of the poles, because this principle of pulsation as the very nature of existence does not occur. But those that have overcome aging, because there were certain things that they knew that perhaps we have not yet uncovered, hopefully today we will, but they were the ascended masters. What is the difference between an ascended master and somebody that passes away? My brothers and sisters, an ascended master does not lay necessarily, and I say that because there are a few exceptions, they do not lay their body down in death. When they become an ascended master, they vibrate their bodies out of physicality into the higher levels where the ascended masters dwell. We have known it as the Brotherhood of White Light, of the Order of White Light, etc. In the past, until sometime in 2006, the ascended mastery realms was a lot different than what it is today. Because in 2005, the Mother Goddess of All Life started to fix a problem that existed in the ascended mastery realms, which is the exact opposite, but similar to the problem of what causes aging. They had overpolarized into beingness. There was not enough doingness. In other words, we had managed to overcome death and become ascended masters, only to enter into another form of stagnation. And even though thousands of ascended masters from all creeds, all races, all religions that had managed, sometimes by accident, to tap into a secret that would create in them the ascended mastery, had stopped as though there were an end to the journey as an ascended master at the apex of human evolution. There is no point of arrival. Those masters, although there were thousands of them, only 9 up until August of 2005, only 9 made it beyond into the levels above that which is called the God Kingdom. It is never appropriate for us to assume that life is a camp. It isn't. It is a journey. Other than, at that time, the earth still had an underworld. Now it doesn't. There is no longer any need for demons, because demons help to embody the chaos of the unknown portions of the infinite being. In August of 2006, all unknown portions of the infinite being were solved. There is still unknown, but no longer portions that the mother had seen that she didn't know whether it was hers or not. So in other words, there was no longer a need for demons. So the demons no longer existed. There were no longer any underworlds as of August 2006. Up until that point, the most stagnant areas in the cosmos were the underworlds that had overpolarized into the dark, and the ascended mastery levels that had overpolarized into the light. Now, when we oppose life, when we struggle against life, instead of going into the feminine pole of allowing as well, we lose energy. The ascended masters themselves had overpolarized into total surrender, totally overpolarized into the light. Because there was not enough doingness or proactivity, enough of a masculine pole present within them. It is for that reason that they started to lose power. My brothers and sisters, I was called in front of the Ascended Masters during WESAC in 2005. And they basically asked me, this was during 2004. They told me that there was a comet during 2004 that was heading towards the Earth. And what was I going to do about it? I was astonished because they were the Ascended Masters. I assumed they were the Earth's sacred government, so to speak, proactively governing the safety of the planet and humanity. But they weren't. I asked them, it was the same comet that had struck the Earth before. Well, it had actually done damage to the Earth, but I don't know that it actually struck the Earth. Only portions of it struck the Earth. So I asked them what had been done before. They said nothing, because there wasn't somebody of a high enough level that could stop it. I was astonished. With major, major light workers and masters on the planet, many of you and I worked in the dream time to create a dent in the space-time continuum so that that comet would hit it and veer off and not come near the Earth. In 2005, the Earth left its space in an ascension anyway. So it wasn't even where it would have been initially. But the bottom line of it is, my brothers and sisters, they had lost their power because they had overpolarized.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
But how did the nine that made it out of the human kingdom into the God kingdom do it? They must have had a secret that no one else looked at in the Ascended Master realms. That they did. And the ones that made it through were the Master, Jesus the Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Sanat Kumara, as well as the Mother Mary, Elizabeth, who later became goddess of the moon, and Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother. I believe she was a relative of Mother Mary in the time that Christ was born. And then there were also, some Taoist immortal masters, two females, as well as the goddess Kuan Yin. Those are the only nine that until August of 2005 had made it out of the human kingdom. The reason why they were able to make it out had to do with the use of emotion. You see, when one progresses through the various stages of life, it's like a pyramid. If you view the sides of the pyramid as the emotions and the base of the pyramid as perception, during some of the stages, the sides of the pyramid become very heightened. Emotions become very strong. Then, in turn, they enhance perception, meaning that they cause the base to go bigger to that perfect proportion of the Giza pyramid, the Great Pyramid on the Giza Plateau. But then, at times, the perception will go so wide as in the final stages of ascended mastery, it becomes so big that the sides of the pyramid flatten to accommodate the enlarged perception. In studying the fields of man and understanding how we can, in fact, achieve the fountain of youth, the use of emotion is vitally important, because the energy comes in from our higher bodies and it comes in through the emotional body. If the emotional body is not fully functioning, we have very low energy. So my brothers and sisters, the nine that made it through understood how important it was to fully live emotion. When you're that expanded, it's very hard to even remember what emotion is. What helps provide that emotion to again take hold of you is, in fact, the raising of the kundalini. The root chakra has to become active even in the form of creating or of sexuality, but the creational powers of the root chakra has to become active, which pushes the kundalini up, which again starts to pulse the emotions and gets the sides of the pyramid high enough that you can have the energy to make the leap from humanness to godhood. Now, let us see how that pertains to us. Working as an assistant in a dental office. Working as somebody that collects garbage, or a lawyer, or a doctor. How does that pertain to us? To understand that, there are multiple illustrations that we have in the various books, including Journey to the Heart of God, Life of Miracles. We show how the chakras open in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, and so forth. Now, those bodies around man are first the physical body. Then around that, about an inch or so out, you have the etheric body. And there is technology developed by the Russians where you can now actually see the meridians of the body. You can see which ones are weak and which ones are strong, and you can strengthen it with treatments of ions where necessary. But for the first time, all these meridians that form the acupuncture points and the chakras that for eons the Chinese have spoken about can now scientifically be seen. That is the etheric body. Around that is a feminine body, because the etheric is linear, it's masculine. And around that is the feminine body that has flow and color. And that you see in the Carillion photography as your aura, your emotions. And that goes out about sort of 16 inches. And then there is another linear body. The etheric body has blue lines of light. This is the mental body that has the golden linear lines of light. Now, the mental body is the one that is very pertinent in aging, as well as the emotional body, the flowy color that it contains inside it, that we have spoken about. Above these four bodies, the physical, the etheric, the emotional, and the mental, there are, in fact, three more bodies. There's the spiritual emotional and the spiritual mental. Spiritual emotional is more color, and that also can show up on some Carillion photography. And the spiritual mental is, again, a lines of light that resembles roughly the shape of the human and is now very much out there, about an arm's length out there around the physical body. The seventh body is very special. The seventh body comes out of the life force center, and it's trillions of little fibers of light that go through the other six bodies, forming sort of a radiant cocoon called the luminous cocoon of man by Toltec seers around the body of man. This luminous cocoon with its trillions of light fibers contains within it all the potential that exists outside of the human cocoon. Everything that's out there is within. It's this principle that has been utilized, unfortunately, to great detriment to consciousness by shamans that have done shape-shifting. But, you know, that is explained in the book, and it's beyond what we're talking about now. However, the world of the beast is also in our luminous fibers. And if you bring it online, so to speak, even your shape will change, but because it's a lower evolutionary line, it can lower your consciousness. And you become a power seeker versus a perception seeker. So, my brothers and sisters, in the four lower bodies, which represent the four directions, the body is fed energy by the emotional body receiving it from the three higher bodies, which receives it from the creator goddess herself. Because that seventh body is connected directly with the infinite. Now, I might just add that until very recently, the life force center was like the size of a grapefruit, a luminous ball of light located behind the belly button. Mother has moved it up because she changed our reality from logic-based to heart-based. She moved the life force center up to the heart very recently. And so as of now, the fibers extend out of the heart, just so that you are aware of that. But it feeds us energy through the heart from the mother. If, however, we are in ego identification, which tries to not only control but resist life, the mental body, remember those golden lines of light, keeps energy from coming in from the higher bodies to the emotional body. That's the first thing, to be in ego identification, to have that internal dialogue in the head, and the purpose of multiple of my books that I've written is to show exactly the path to walk to overcome that internal dialogue and leave ego identification for the mastery level. And we map out these levels very, very carefully. You can find it in the back of Secrets of the Hidden Realms. We've discussed it in Journey to the Heart of God and so forth. But you can see that, in fact, the dialogue is part of resistance to life. When we resist the moment, it pulls us out of the moment into the immediate future or the past, creating a dialogue in the head. When we have the dialogue in the head, we cannot live in the present. It forms a vicious cycle, unfortunately. And so many light workers are so frustrated, my brothers and sisters, because they go from teacher to teacher, but unfortunately, those teachers themselves are still in ego identification. And so what they end up doing is swimming around and around a fishbowl without being able to get out of the fishbowl and, in fact, live free from the ego as the ruling factor of one's life. That is called God consciousness. But as we've seen, even as we progress, there are times when our emotions are so almost non-existent because Our perception is so large that we can hardly feel them. When I first entered God consciousness, all I knew was that I had no identity. I was as vast as the cosmos. I could not discern anything other than fear that I would lose my self-awareness. I had so little energy that to go to the store to get bread was too much trouble. This is the result of no emotions. Emotions are in fact vital to eternal youth.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almaine. To learn more about Almaine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Resistance to life. There are two ways in which it helps us leak energy instead of gain energy. If we resist life, the energy that the emotional body is supposed to get from those higher bodies cannot come through. That's one way in which it impairs it. And then we are lacking in energy, we're lacking in the input. And as we live our life, we overbalance into output. In other words, it's a little bit like a jug pouring water out. Unless you have the tap pouring water in the other side, you eventually will deplete what is in that jug. That is how death and decay comes about. Now, there is a second way in which this occurs. William? William? Okay, just hold for me for a second, please. The second way in which this happens... Sorry, William? Just a second, please. Okay, I've got it. The second way in which this happens is when soul pieces leave. Most lives remember trauma. The Infinite Mother of all life has on several occasions during the last few years erased karma, erased previous lives' trauma as something that has a hold on this life. But even if we just look at this life, there might be sexual abuse. There might be the loss of a parent when we were young. There might be the trauma inflicted upon us by insensitive parents or siblings. And as these events happen, soul force leaves. In other words, we end up dying a little bit at a time. How can we prevent this from happening? Well, when experience is fruitless, in other words, when it fails to yield its insights, which has to now do with the mental body. It nevertheless creates constrictions in the flow of energy within the emotional body as well. The reason is this. Perception yields emotion. If certain perceptions are not gained, certain emotions are not going to flow properly. Emotions, on the other hand, yield perception. If we live in the three ascension attitudes of love and praise and gratitude, as we do that, these are, in fact, again, augmenting and enhancing perception. So they are meant to interplay between one another. So constrictions in the flow of energy will remain in the emotional body unless we start to gain the insights of our lives. Just the way the emotional and the mental bodies pulse, so too the physical and the emotional bodies pulse. Think of them as a figure eight. The top loop of the figure eight is vertical. The top loop of the figure eight is meant to pulse between insights and increased flow. Increased flow, increased insights. The bottom loop is meant to pulse between the etheric body and the physical body. It is the bottom of the tree of life, or the bottom of, it's the direction of the south, which is the physical, and the west, which is that etheric, energetic component of it. What the bottom is supposed to pulse like is that based on unresolved issues that we had lived in the past lives, a template is created by, let's call it higher self, the etheric body, that the physical then has to turn into experiential knowledge, changing the unknown into the known through experience. As it changes it through the experience, the template changes. No need to learn any lessons that we've already learned. So now the template focuses on other areas of our life. And so that is meant to pulse as well. And this vertical figure eight, when everything is pulsing properly as it should, between receiving and living it out, being and doing, it will remain as a vertical figure eight, a closed circuit that prolongs life, or that in fact eventually creates, through love, praise, and gratitude that gives enough perception, it will create immortality. We have, however, a situation that starts to alter the vertical nature of that figure eight when there is resistance to life. Because then the input from the higher bodies immediately, the input from the higher bodies pulses with the output, if you will, of the lower four bodies. The gaining of perception, the feeling of emotion, the creating templates, the living it out, those are all doing-oriented. The three higher bodies are receiving-oriented. They receive energy, potential, etc., from the infinite itself. They input it into the four lower bodies. If those lower bodies do not receive, we're back into a larger jug, but nevertheless a jug that will eventually run dry, and so death and rebirth occurs to give us another chance. Let's go back to this vertical figure eight. The earth has a tilted axis. Earth tilts have happened several times over the last eons of existence. The history of these earth tilts and the histories of the cycles of life that have taken place on earth has been given to us by a kingdom that have been designated as the history keepers of the earth by the Mother Goddess herself, and it is written in the Gift of the Unicorns. And we will see that shifts of the earth planetary axis happened in each instance due to black magic. Now, Mother has removed the power of the spells that of any black magic that has been practiced and is being practiced. She has entirely removed it. However, what is black magic? Black magic is enforcing our will by enhancing intent through the magical practices upon life. At this point, a fruitless act. But in the past, during the cycles of the fall that we have been through before the earth went into its ascension, as I've discussed in my other materials, the resistance to life that was enforced through black magic is not much different than our attempts to control our lives with our meager ego identification with our linear mental brain, with our mental body. If we try and govern life, we are trying to force our will upon life. And just like the earth's horizontal, vertical loop of the figure eight, our vertical loop of the figure eight starts to tilt. When it is horizontal, we live in linear time. The ancient Maya called the horizontal loop of time the Zivuya. It has been mapped out by various calendars, but the Zivuya lives in a succession of moments, linear time. If you live in linear time, beloved ones, you are living in resistance to life. When you are living in that vertical axis and all things pulse between doingness and beingness, you are living in the eternal now. And you are living in the place where power is continually regenerated. In other words, you have performed a self-regenerating cycle in which aging cannot occur because the supply of energy and power to you from the infinite never ends. It is only when we live in that flat Zivuya, that flat figure eight, that such a thing can occur. It is only when we live in linear time, in that flat figure eight that horizontally lies through the body, that such a thing as death can in fact occur.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almaine. To learn more about Almaine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The luminous cocoon of man is shaped like an egg and consists, as we have seen, of the physical, the etheric, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual emotional, the spiritual mental, and the spirit bodies of man. But there is an odd anomaly on the egg of a being that is, in fact, still in ego identification. And it is a sort of an indentation on this luminous cocoon about an arm's length in front of the belly button. And because many of the old masters had not, in fact, worked their way all the way through to ascended mastery or immortal mastery, they were subject to death. And when they, what they learned is if they could fill that cocoon's dimple with energy of some sort, which they did through various sorcery and various methods, they could keep themselves alive. This has been misused and abused as a concept when black magic, in fact, still worked. However, there is a way that that fills when you leave ego identification behind. And the stages that you go through as you go into immortality, what to expect, the challenges that you meet in each stage, how to identify where you are. My brothers and sisters, all of this is given in many of the books. Perhaps a good one to look at would be Secrets of the Hidden Realms. Most all my books deal with some of it. Secrets of the Hidden Realms, Journey to the Heart of God, and some of the subsequent books have it in as an appendix. Give exactly what you can expect. On this recording, I am giving you the additional information so that I don't just repeat what you can learn, because those of you that are very interested in the Fountain of Youth need this information in addition to that. The dimple can be filled when you realize that you are all things, which happens when you are in that stage called God consciousness. In the first phase of God consciousness, when you leave ego identification behind, you only know that you are no thing. In the second phase of it, there are three phases in that stage, you know that you are all things, and that's when the deep bliss settles in. When you know that you are all things, living in a way that is life-enhancing and extremely considerate of the interconnectedness of all life becomes a way of being. And unless you fall prey to the pitfalls that is inherent in that stage of mastery, which we describe very carefully in the Secrets of the Hidden Realms, you will in fact move on to the place where that dimple fills completely with energy, which is in the second phase of the next stage, which is ascended mastery. And at that point, death has no hold on you. So living in the interconnectedness of life is one very important way to ensure that the cocoon does not crack, which is death. Because usually when death occurs, the cracks happen through that dimple. Let's see how that crack will occur in the first place. What is death actually when it happens? We mentioned before that one can die a little bit at a time by not gaining the perceptions of the experiences of your life, by seeing yourself as a victim, as an example. Well, when the soul force leaves, it leaves to the other realms. And eventually, if you lose enough soul force, my brothers and sisters, you are more in the realm of the etheric, which is where you are when you're in the spirit world, than you really are in your body. And so, eventually, the rest of the spirit wants to join what is the bulk of it, which is on the other side. So, the spirit will leave, and that is called the death song. The frequency of the death song means that the death song, the frequency of the soul force that an individual has lost, that is now in the spirit realms, becomes stronger than the song of life sung by the remaining portions of soul in the body. And where the song is the strongest, that's where the soul force will be drawn to. We have therefore written very carefully about the art of recapitulation. In Journey to the Heart of God, it is explained quite fully. as to how to gain as best you can the insights of what is happening in your life, so that you can learn that you are never a victim. Gain the insights of those experiences so that you no longer have to manifest them. As you gain these experiences, the soul force that might have left from a traumatic experience that precipitates the need to in cyclical form, bring things back. As you learn what it was about that abuse happened when you were a child, there's no longer a need for the soul force to stay away. Then, so step one is to learn the lessons from your past, and how you do it is to observe the knee-jerk reactions of your present. When something pushes a button, there is something there that needs to be recapitulated. You need to gain its insight. You see, death is really a form of purification, right? Moments before death, your life flashes in front of you before you move through the tunnel. That's the recapitulation. Even when you are on the other side of the tunnel, by those who have come back to explain this, you are being shown areas in your life that you could have done better, areas in your life that you made a big difference, and so forth. That is recapitulation. So in other words, if you daily look behind the appearances of your life, take 20 minutes each day to recapitulate events of your day to see what was the lesson, what was the role I was playing, what was the contract we were fulfilling, what was the gift this gave, what gift did I give? Can I allow, you know, such and such to continue, or should I accept? Then can I release any feeling of victimhood? Can I be grateful? As we do that day by day, the purification rite of death becomes unnecessary, and soul force is pulled back. Now, this creates a good opportunity for soul force to be pulled back. But my brothers and sisters, unless you live fully the sub-personalities we have so carefully described, the inner nurturer, nurturing the self, nurturing and parenting with unconditional love and no criticism, the inner child, so that your child can at appropriate times come out and express and play and know that it is heard. Unless you allow the inner sage to speak to you, the inner warrior to protect your thoughts against anything that is disempowering, unless the sub-personality of the instinctual self is lived, the soul force will not come back just because you've received those insights. There are 96 pure frequencies in the cosmos. In many of the books, we have spoken about them. These are, in fact, the frequencies that you live and you pulse between the positive and the feminine poles, in order to become filled with life force, with energy, with frequency. If you can live even a few weeks from the heart in absolute gratitude, even for the slightest adversity, knowing that your higher self is writing the script, that the actual blueprint is coming from the infinite itself, beloved ones, you can change your body from mortal to immortal. Like a lightning flash going through the cells, it will change in nature, and the life cell in the pineal gland will start to regenerate the cells quicker than they deteriorate. And you shall have the fountain of youth.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Neen.